It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're in conversation with the leader of public education in Wisconsin about reflections on 2023 and a look ahead to pressing issues for classrooms and the educator workforce in the new year. And you can be part of the conversation along the way. Call in with a question, share your views. The number is 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jill Underley is State Superintendent of Public Instruction. Superintendent Underley, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much, Kate. It's great to be here. I'm really excited to talk about the great work we're doing. And I apologize if I sound a little hoarse. I'm feeling a little bit under the weather.
That's okay. Thank you for being here. And so in the State of Education Address Ceremony this year, you say Wisconsin schools are in a moment of change. Can you elaborate on that change?
Well, yeah, that's a great question or a great way to start this off. As we go through change, I mean, you think about what schools are like before COVID, before 2020, now what we're going through after COVID, we've got lots of challenges. And, you know, change brings about challenges, but change also brings a lot of hope and optimism, too, when you think about it. So in Wisconsin communities right now, we're out surveying. We're listening to people to do our strategic planning sessions, and we're hearing lots of things. We're hearing about shortages of teachers and wanting great teachers in our classrooms. We're hearing about academic achievement. We are hearing that, you know, families want special education funding in our schools. We're hearing about transportation challenges. I mean, none of these things are necessarily news, I guess, to people who are kind of clued into schools, but those are challenges. But we're also experiencing challenges around ugly partisan and extremist rhetoric. And that's what we're hearing also from teachers, students themselves, and parents. They don't want that. It's a minority, of course. I need to make sure that people are clear that it's a very few voices, but they're very loud. And it's been a distraction from the real work. And we're seeing some of that come out of bills in the legislature, for example, attacks on trans kids, attacks on libraries. And again, I mean, all of this is, these are challenges, but it also represents, I think, changes that everybody's going through.
And we are going to unpack some of these points that you bring up here. But our focus recently, the universities of Wisconsin agreed to a deal with Republican lawmakers that limit DEI efforts in exchange for releasing about $800 million for employee cost of living raises and building projects. You were absent for the vote. Do you agree with the deal that was struck?
So my position on DEI has been very clear throughout my tenure. And, you know, I wasn't really able to participate in the process. I mean, there were some closed session meetings, there was discussion happening. And I respect that process. And even though outside forces weren't respecting that process, but I think what listeners need to know is that I'm deeply committed to DEI efforts and will continue to champion that work going forward.
We heard afterward the law firm Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty indicating that, you know, there would be incremental, you know, this was an incremental victory for equality, that there are more diversity, equity, and inclusion programs to be examined. What do you think the future holds for public education in light of the region's decision?
So I think this is really just one of those situations that's a great example of an adult problem being assigned to kids. I mean, DEI and restricting DEI isn't a kid problem. Kids and college students, I mean, employers, they already value diversity and inclusion. So I guess what I'll say is that I'm just really disappointed about this whole thing, because at this time, we need to be future focused in the way some elected officials or, you know, just people who are talking about this, they're just trying to curb DEI efforts in schools, as well as in businesses or in higher education. At the end of the day, I think we need to realize that we need thriving businesses in our state. And businesses know that the workforce is growing more diverse. So successful businesses know this, and that's why they're all doing it, and they're being future focused. So from where I'm at, we're going to continue to advocate to educate our children for their future and not our past.
We're reviewing the year in Wisconsin education with State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Jill Underley. You can join in with questions and comments. The number to call is 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Before we move on to the next point here, would you be for or against the deal, or are you unsure?
Oh, I think, like I said, you know, my position on DEI has been very clear. So I think you could translate that to, yes, I would have been opposed to the deal. You know, and just reflecting on it, like I said, I wasn't engaged in all that. I had a longstanding trip that had been rescheduled multiple times because it was originally scheduled during COVID. It was with my mother. And we were going out of the country. And it was really difficult for me to watch. That happen, because I think the Regents were put in an impossible situation.
In terms of workforce, in May, you were here on our show and said all positions in education are struggling to recruit applicants, teachers, special education teachers, bus drivers. What have you done this year to address the workforce shortages?
Yeah, that's a great question. We're continually reevaluating based on what we're hearing from the field. I mean, we have focus groups with administrators. We talk to teachers. We talk to our stakeholders. We talk to the educator prep programs about what they need. And we talk to districts about what they need to put high quality teachers in front of kids. So at DPI, we've been helping with licensing. We have a special education induction program, which is, I guess the way I would explain it is it's like a network of new special education teachers that we connect them with veteran teachers and as a way to mentor. We also are working on a teacher apprenticeship program, which is really exciting because when you think about traditional apprenticeships, like for example, with the trades, like electricians or plumbers or construction, it would be similar for teachers. And we're also identifying ways to reinforce our career pathways for high school students to become teachers. So we put stipends in our budget for student teachers, and as well as their mentors. And this was the past budget, but that got stripped out. But we're going to keep trying. We have we are actually beginning our next budget already. But I think the other piece is, you know, my position is one where, you know, I have this voice, right, that I can advocate for kids and teachers. And I think what I would say is, as community members, we need to show our respect for teachers. This time of year, you know, there's a great way to show gratitude. They don't necessarily want fancy gifts or gift cards. They would love, I would say, just to get a note, you know, from parents that just say, look, thank you for everything you're doing. They're hearing so much negative right now that I think, you know, showing our support goes much, much further.
Will teacher turnover remain elevated in years to come?
Most likely, I would say, unless something changes. You think about the environment that our teachers are teaching in right now with, like we had talked about earlier in our conversation, you know, like the politics of things, right? But the other piece of it is, you know, you've got the culture wars, sure, in the background. Nobody wants to deal with that. They just want to do their jobs. They want to teach. But you think about the conditions, right? Teacher pay is still very low. When you think about comparable professions with the same amount of education or skill set, we're finding that people go into teaching. We don't have necessarily a recruitment problem. We have a retention problem. They'll stay in teaching for, you know, a few years, but then realize, you know, that the private sector is paying more. And so that's where we're losing people. There's a break in the pipe, you know, and that's, you know, we're losing people after a few years because of their great skills, and they're great people, right? You know, who go into teaching. So it's difficult.
State Superintendent of Education Jill Underley with us as we probe K-12 issues that surfaced through the calendar year, and we stay abreast of what may transpire in 2024. And there's space to talk. Call in with a question. Share your views at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're in conversation with Wisconsin's top education official, State Superintendent Jill Underle, about pressing issues facing K-12 schools as 2023 comes to a close. And we learn about education priorities for the Department of Public Instruction in the new year. And you can discuss at any point. Call in with a question, add comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Turning to report cards, in November, the Department of Public Instruction released annual report cards. About 83% of Wisconsin public schools met or exceeded state expectations for the 2022-23 school year. What gains in academic success are the most urgent?
Yeah, so the gains I would look at are the disparities, right? We have gaps. That's a thing. And so we've been, focusing on reading, and we have passed in the legislature a bipartisan bill on literacy instruction in schools. And I'm really excited about that. I think our school districts are really excited about that. I wish it had been around when my kids were in elementary school, to be honest. And now we're going to be focusing on implementing that, as well as, we have to focus, though, on the differences in achievement between our students of color and white students, primarily Black students. But we also need to look at students with disabilities and the difference in gains or growth between their scores and students without disabilities. Also, students in poverty. I think the piece, though, if I'm reflecting from my own professional experience in a school district, Wisconsin does really, really good. I think, as far as educating all kids, but we need to continue to keep our foot on the gas. We have low investment in special education funding, for example, and we have low investment for students who are English learners, for example. And then we also have communities throughout Wisconsin that are in deep poverty, and we really need to focus in those areas if we want to make sure that all kids are achieving at the levels that they need to be achieving at. So like I said, a lot of the gaps persist, disparities, particularly racial. But overall, our test results are trending up. Our test participation rates are up. We're moving in the right direction.
With this gap that needs to be addressed in Wisconsin between white kids and kids of color, especially in reading scores and math. And then we see, there are these conversations about the science of reading and phonics and evolving theories on how to teach kids to read. What is the latest focus on this achievement gap for Black students?
So, the racial disparities were a driver in many of our budget proposals. I mean, we're trying to look at the whole picture. So like when a student is unable to learn, I mean, there's more to it than just teaching methods, right? So you think about like meals, for example, making sure that they have breakfast and they have lunch. And I think we as adults need to reflect on that ourselves. Are you at your best when you're hungry? Are you at your best when you're skipping meals? And we try to break down barriers in public education for kids, but these barriers continue to exist. And until we address them, such as, universal free meals, robust mental health funding, right? I mean, significant increases in special education reimbursement. I mean, these are things that my budget had proposed in the last cycle for the 2023-25 year, and they were taken out. But we know it's proven, early intervention, early childhood, full day 4K. We know these things all help kids do better. So when we take a standardized test in third grade or eighth grade and they're not scoring well, we can't be blaming the teachers. We can't be blaming the curriculum necessarily. It's a much bigger picture.
Let's return to Governor Tony Evers signing this phonics-based reading bill into law. And certain portions of the bill will take effect in the next school year, and it requires an intensive personal literacy plan and summer classes for students who fail to meet third grade reading benchmarks. It triples the number of annual reading screenings for students in kindergarten through third grade. Will this law help students learn to read?
I think it will help. I really think it will help at least provide this roadmap for school districts, because we are going to be investing in more professional development. There is more universal consensus, I should say, on what it takes. The individualized reading plan, I think when kids are not scoring where they need to score to be proficient as readers, what it does is it makes the school district create an individualized reading plan for that student that identifies what is it. Is it fluency, for example? Is it comprehension? What is that discrete skill? Describing the interventions that the kids are going to have to undergo, and ensure then that parents are involved, right? Ensure that parents are informed, that the teachers are communicating, making sure that no kid is really going to fall through the cracks. And like I said, a big piece of this legislation is the funding, and never before has the state of Wisconsin funded literacy. And so to me, that's extremely promising, because when we talk about values, when we talk about what matters, we fund the stuff that we value. And so for the state to be on board with this, I think it's really promising. And I think kids are going to benefit most from this.
Talking about a year in review with Wisconsin State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Jill Underly is here. You can join the conversation, call in with a question or comments at 800-642-1234. In August, State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss announced the formation of a task force to address student truancy in Wisconsin schools, and the group has been hearing from districts around the state. What do you hope the task force accomplishes over the next year?
Yeah, this is interesting to me, because this is something I dealt with quite a bit as a principal and then also as a district administrator. And what I learned is what I hope that the legislature really hears, that it's a very nuanced, very complex problem. There's lots of reasons for truancy. And I know that after COVID, for example, it just exploded, right? I think what we learned at DPI, and what I learned in my own work, is that reasons kids are not coming to school after COVID vary. They, because during COVID they had, certainly an experience where they only went to school part of the time. Mm-hmm. And they worked the other part of the time, or they took care of a family member, or they helped out on the farm, or they took care of younger siblings or grandma. And I think what they experienced is that we can do school differently. And so that my hope is that what we'll learn is that we should codify that we can do school differently, that we, kids told us they liked being in school. After when COVID was finished and they went back to school, they missed their friends, they missed their teachers, they missed that aspect. But they also told us we didn't need to be there all day, right? Because we proved during COVID that we didn't have to. And so how do you look at those other learning experiences, competency-based instruction, learning at home, dual credit, taking a college class in the afternoon versus being in a high school class, work, getting credit for youth apprenticeship, getting credit for, taking care of somebody. I mean, there's so many skills that we don't measure. And I think, I'm hoping out of the truancy that they realize that if we want to make sure that kids are learning, we need to feed them. We need to make sure that they have transportation to get to where they need to go. We need to make sure that they have mental health support. But also we need to think that we can do school differently.
So it's a very individualized situation with each chronically absent student. We only have about 30 seconds left, and I do want to get to this question from Martha in Menominee, who wants to ask if anything this year was done to address active shooter drills.
Our schools have school safety plans. And so, every school is going to be different. on that. So that's really something that the schools have, and they keep that information close.
They keep that information close. Why is that?
Well, I mean, we certainly have drills that they have to do. Every month, we have drills as part of, but as far as their plans, or how they're, evacuating students or anything along those lines, that's information they don't share that with the general public.
Superintendent Underley, thank you for joining us.
You bet. It was my pleasure.
Jill Underley is State Superintendent of Public Instruction in Wisconsin, elected to the role in 2021. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.